time I'm getting.
Back to our IR cases. Yes, let's do the four pack since you're so eager to get there. So we're going to do, we'll make motions and vote on each one separately, but the summary is going to be the same. So we'll do 21, 26, 27, 28, and 29. Tracy, would you read this summary?
Yes. Case 2126 is David Evers, Bruno Boutet. 2127 is Matthew Miller, DVM, same complainant. 2128 is Sage Hubert, DVM, same complainant. And the case 2129 is Stephanie Foote, DVM, same complainant. On July 21st, 2020, Corona, a seven-month-old female Maltese mix, was presented to Dr. Boutet and diagnosed with a left-to-right shunting PDA. On July 28, 2020, Dr. Boutet performed the dog's PDA occlusion with a ACDO device. The device was successfully deployed with no complications while recovering after the procedure, the dog went into cardiopulmonary arrest. CPR was performed, but was unsuccessful. A necropsy was performed and a definitive diagnosis of death, cause of death could not be determined. And the committee concluded in case 2126 that there was no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act, and a motion was made to dismiss this issue with no violation. And then the case of 2127, the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to recommend the board dismiss this issue with no violation. In case 2128, the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to recommend the board dismiss this issue with no violation. And in case 2129, the committee concluded that a possible violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board find errors 3222-3221 as it relates to R311-502-H1 for failure to obtain signed authorization from the pet owner prior to general anesthesia or surgery being performed on the dog. And the motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
All right, so we have no respondents and Mr. Stoll representing three, and a statement to read for case 2129.
You've got that entirely correct. Okay. Thank you. And that case involves Dr. Stephanie Foote. The complainant in this case took a somewhat shotgun approach and filed the board complaints against four licensed veterinarians alleging medical incompetence and gross negligence in connection with the care provided to his dog. Included was a complaint against Dr. Foote, despite the fact that she did not provide any veterinary care whatsoever to the dog in this case. In fact, if you look at the owner's complaint, he doesn't even list Dr. Foote as a veterinarian who provided care. While we are pleased that the investigative committee found no concerns or proposed violations related to the complaints against the three veterinarians who did provide care, they did propose a violation against Dr. Foote because she is the premise license holder and the medical records provided to the board did not include a signed surgical authorization. First, I'd like to point out that nowhere in his complaint does the owner claim that the surgery was unauthorized or that he did not consent to it. To the contrary, his complaint against Dr. Foote includes a very detailed timeline where he describes how he dropped off the dog for surgery, went over the details with the technician, and authorized CPR in the event of an emergency. Second, this surgery took place during the time when COVID protocols were in place, specifically where documents such as estimates and surgical forms authorizations were emailed and then verbally approved with a witness or sent through DocuSign for signatures. And this was during a period of time when that whole DocuSign process was being transitioned. In this case, a technician discussed the estimate with the owner and emailed it to the email address on file. The same technician confirmed that the clients would drop Corona off on Monday evening for the surgery and left instructions for the team members receiving the dog on admission to take the deposit, get CPR status for the patient, and then leave instructions and orders for the doctors. The patient, according to the medical record, was admitted at 6 o'clock p.m., and all those instructions were followed. Since the technician did not specify that the clients needed to return the signed estimate when leaving a deposit, the staff members assumed that the paperwork had already been signed and simply collected the deposit for the surgery from the owner. Similarly, the doctors involved in the case were told that the deposit had been collected in full and that CPR status had been designated, and so they assumed that the estimate and surgical authorizations had been signed and received as well. Admittedly, the doctors did not go into the medical record to verify that the surgical authorization had been signed. That's what happened in connection with the signed authorization form. Again, had COVID protocols not been in place, the authorization would not have slipped through the cracks as it did in this case. Since this case, the doctors are now required to independently verify that a signed authorization and estimate have been obtained prior to starting any procedure. Dr. Foote, as the practice manager, has also reviewed DocuSign protocols with the entire hospital, as well as she has reinforced the process by which verbal authorizations are given. Finally, the practice on-site IT person recently loaded more applications on all iPads in order to be able to obtain owner signatures from the parking lot during curbside drop-off and visits. In sum, the practice has used this case as a teaching moment to minimize the chances of this happening again. Given the circumstances surrounding the COVID protocols that were in place, we suggest that the board dismiss this case with no violation against Dr. Foote, or at most issue a letter of concern. Thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Chains, you are the lead on this one, or these four.
So, I mean, in looking through everything that happened, I mean, certainly this is a very sad situation because it was a case where we had vested owners that were willing to do everything for this dog, and we had a procedure that normally has very good outcomes, and it didn't. And quite honestly, we don't know why, and we won't ever know why. But that happens, and that happens in people, it happens in animals, and it's just part of what we do. It's what makes some of what we do very difficult. But in going through the case, I mean, I don't see anything that happened that was out of proper care that would have been a violation. It was very well documented and straightforward as far as what was being recommended. There was lots of communication with the owner, from technicians to receptionists to the doctor calling multiple times. So I really just don't see anything in here outside of the fact that it was just a very unfortunate case and very sad case to find fault with. So I would make a motion in the case of 2126, which is the doctor, and 2127, I would put those together because those are the two doctors that actually performed the procedure, that we find no violations of our practice act or rules.
Second.
A motion for a second find to dismiss 2126 and 2127. Is there any further discussion? I guess I'll throw out there, because I don't know whether this is the right place or toward the end when we get to toward case 2129. Sadly, the owner kept referencing I was told it was 90% effective. Well, I'm sorry, you had the 2% though. And nobody could possibly know that, but it is 2%. And then also referenced in there somewhere, I know I at least saw it once toward the end when they were closing up their narrative, the complaint was closing up their narrative, where they talked about this should never have happened to my completely healthy dog. Well, no, it had a congenital heart defect that was gonna kill her. It was gonna die. Sooner rather than later, and you had a 98% chance to fix it, and you happen to end up with a 2% instead of the 98%. But it had a terminal congenital defect, and it was not gonna live through and survive. It was not a healthy, happy puppy that went in and then just died because of a botched procedure. Didn't have that. I mean, it had to have that procedure to live. So.
I know, and those are hard percentages though, because the owner is hearing that, you know, 98% of the time it goes well, and you're just, so they just were not probably expecting.
Well, they weren't focused, I mean, I don't think they focused enough on they took it to their own veterinarian. They didn't take it to this emergency clinic. It was going into their own personal veterinarian for a stay. And he looks at it and says, whoa, wait a minute, I need to see a specialist because I can't operate on this dog. That tells you right there something is urgently wrong, and then they confirm it's a congenital heart defect. So, yeah, I think they were selectively hearing what they wanted to hear.
And I do think the 98%, I mean, I'm sure that's in the literature somewhere, but I don't necessarily know that I would say 98% on anything that's
like a heart.
Yeah, I mean, just anesthetic risk and stuff like that. You can't even tell. Maybe the procedure itself is very good, but then all the other things that go along with it, I mean, you can't control allergic reactions or anesthetic reactions or things like that. So I just, that might have been part of the problem, but again, it's not a violation.
No,
it's not,
no.
I mean, might be something they consider in the future, but it's not a violation.
All right, so our motion on the floor is to dismiss case 2126 and 2127. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. 2126 and 2127 are dismissed. Next up is 2128.
So 2128 was a doctor that actually was observing the procedure. I think he assisted with some table heights and things like that. I don't really see any involvement with this doctor in this case medically, so I would make a motion that we find no violations of the practice act and rule.
Second.
Motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2128. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 2128 is dismissed. Next up is 2129. Dr. Foote, the license holder, or the premise holder.
So this is an interesting one because had I have thought that this not having the signed form was part of this case and a concern, I still think I probably would have said it's under the doctor that actually was doing the procedure to make sure that this happened, not the responsible vet. The responsible vet had a process in place to make sure this happened. So it wasn't, to me, it wasn't really a facility issue. It was a failure of what happened that day of surgery. But in light of everything that was going on and in light of what we heard this morning as to how this happened and the multiple verbal conversations, deposits, sign off on CPR, things like that happened, clearly this information had been communicated to the owner. And so while I think it's something that we all look back on COVID and go, oh my gosh, we had some things happen, I don't want to keep blaming COVID forever on these things, but I think that that's a situation here that, you know, caused this not to get signed, and I don't think it related to the case, and I think the owner was very well aware of all of the information on it. So I would make a motion in 2129 that we find no violations of our practice act or rules.
Second. I agree. I don't think as the owner you can, because things didn't go as you hoped, then, you know, say, oh, but by the way, I actually did not technically sign this form, but I still dropped my dog off that day for surgery, but I never authorized it. It just seems like a technicality at that point. They're trying to find, you know, some violation against this person, but again, if the dog was in, you know, for something else, and then, you know, their surgery happened, but we know, you know, what the intention was here, and I just think that one was, it's unfortunate that they didn't have the actual form, but I think that one was a bit of a stretch.
So, and I'll take it, the way I read the complainant's narrative is they had the estimate emailed to them. And yes, he says, I didn't sign it, but he emailed it back. He says right there, he emailed it right back. So why would you email it back? And like you both said, why would you show up for your appointment on time if you didn't consent and agree? And of course he consented and agreed. That's not a question. We don't have to, you didn't need a signature. I mean, he did. He physically took action to make consent.
And have them provided the information.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he showed up and never had the information.
No, I mean, he
got the information and still consented, so I just don't see this being.
And we have proof that he got it because he emailed it back. You know, he says he received the email, he says he returned the email without signing it. So, anyway. All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss 21-29. Even better than Mr. Stoll's 24. No further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes and 21-29 is dismissed. We are now at 11:05. Dr. Roy's going to be on the phone, so let's do that one. Section 4, number 1, Celeste Roy, approved by phone. Case number 1971, regards Celeste Roy DBM, monthly appearances required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on the information presented. And call her up on the phone. Ms. Solomon's going to take the lead on that one.
Seeing a patient?
Him. Yeah. That's him. That wasn't her. Oh. I think they have the right.
Dr. Roy had just emailed this morning with that number, so I know she's expecting.
And I don't see Celeste Roy.
I think we need to call and ask if he's there. Because he definitely came back and said that he was his
name. Okay.
So I'm like, I think that might be.
Yeah, she's expecting this call.
Hello?
Veterinary Specialty Center, this is Jessica. How can I help you?
Hi, Jessica. This is Tracy from the Arizona Veterinary Board. I just called a few minutes earlier. I'm looking for Dr. Celeste Roy. She's expecting our call.
Okay. What was your name one more time?
Tracy.
All right. Hold on just one moment, okay?
Thanks. Diseases of the skin and ears are one of the most common reasons your pet may see a veterinarian. We offer intradermal allergy testing and video autoscopy to keep your pet looking and feeling their best. For more information, ask one of our trained staff to book to schedule an appointment with our board-certified dermatologist when we come back.
As required by consent agreement, board may review, discuss, and take action on information presented. And Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Roy, why don't you take a few minutes and tell us how you're doing and how your visit with your parents went?
Well, thank you. I'm doing wonderful. It was really, really nice having them come up. We got to do quite a bit of hiking, and that was really nice. Got to go to a few restaurants. As you know, a lot of us haven't been able to go to restaurants lately, so that was quite a pleasure. So, you know, it was just nice to get back, you know, close to family again, and they're going to be coming up probably in another few weeks. So it's looking like this might be a trend, hopefully.
That's great. And how's work and recovery and everything else going?
Everything is wonderful. I've been doing my weekly relapse prevention program with Ed, and he's my substance abuse counselor, and he's very impressed with me and has recommended me to go to every other week starting in July, but at the 1 year mark. So he's very impressed with that. And I've been going to my drug test at both BAC and my other drug testing. And so I've been doing drug testing approximately about 3 times a month. It averages out because it's about once a month with BAC and then twice at the other place. So it's about 3 times a month. I'm always negative. And I'm also going to be requesting permission from you guys September 21st to go to the Galapagos again, because my trip got canceled due to COVID last year. So that will be something for me to look forward to also.
Thank you, Dr. Roy. Yes, we saw Mr. Rusnak's quarterly report, and it was very favorable. Congratulations. And you may want to, excuse me, let the lab know that they need to correct the spelling of your last name.
Oh.
They show it as R-O-X.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
No.
I will do that today. I'm very sorry. I'm surprised I didn't notice, because they email me the results, you know, all the time, and I guess I must have overlooked that, but I will have that corrected.
Right. I'm referencing the results from March 17th.
Good.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Okay. And when is your trip to the Galapagos again?
The trip will be September 21st to October 6th. It's going to be a cruise.
That's great. Are you requesting the board that the board take action on that now?
I think I have to provide it in writing.
Yes.
Which I'm more than happy to do. I was going to do that today.
Okay. So Victoria, is that appropriate? And then it would be on next month's agenda?
Yes, whenever she submits that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Dr. Roy. Do any of the board members have any questions?
I believe we do. So thank you for your continued compliance, and it's always a pleasure to hear your upbeat voice even when we can't see you.
Right. We can hear this.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll see you in a month.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Okay, it is 11:15 a.m.